The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Did the early church writers understand the faith alone for salvation message? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions on the Bible, theology, salvation, end times. I mean, all kinds of Christian discipleship. That's a big one.
But you may be wondering, how are we taking your questions? Because this isn't a call-in show.
It's not a call-in. It's an email-in show.
Oh, it's an email-in.
Email-in. You send them to radio@faithalone.org. Radio@faithalone.org. And I'll add them to the pile here. We do our best to answer these questions.
Right, and, right. Well, we're glad you send them in. And
we can answer absolutely any question that you ask.
Because we can always say, I don't know.
I have no idea, which is often the case. But sometimes we think we know.
Right.
So, for example, here's a question from Brian. And Brian says, a teacher by the name of David Burcott has studied the anti-Nicene writers for many years. I'm actually pretty familiar with David Burcott's books. He's an Anabaptist guy, and he argues for Mennonite views or Anabaptist views. And Brian says, Burcott teaches and maintains that not one early church writer believed or taught the faith alone message. Instead, almost all of them believed that the new birth took place at baptism. Have you ever studied the early church writers? Is it reasonable to think that they could be right about issues like the canon of Scripture and the Trinity and yet be wrong about the salvation message? And so maybe let's break that down a little bit. So one, is Burcott right that all the early church fathers denied faith alone?
Well, from my personal experience, I've only read a limited number of church fathers. When I was in the doctoral program at Dallas Seminary, we read, 10 or 15 of the church fathers, and we would read selected passages from the church fathers.
Yeah.
And I did not find anything that was consistent with the free gift of eternal life. It was
right.
Baptismal regeneration, plus you had to persevere to keep your salvation, and of course, the church was the vehicle of salvation. It wasn't yet the Roman Catholic Church, of course, at this point, but it was basically the church in its formative stages, that is, the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, I think that Burcott is right, not because I've read all of them, but because A, it's consistent with what I have read, and B, there was a famous historian named Thomas F. Torrance, mm-hmm. Christian historian, and he studied the apostolic fathers, so, the people who followed the apostles.
Yeah, so that's the generation after the apostles.
I'm not sure how far he went, but Burcott studying anti-Nicene,
that's before Nicaea. So,
which is Nicaea's 350s or something?
Nicaea is 325.
325.
So before 325.
So I think that's similar to the range that Thomas F. Torrance. And in his book, The Doctrine of Grace and the Apostolic Fathers, Torrance says there was not a man that believed in grace the way that Paul talks about it in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for example.
Right. So here's what's interesting. So Burcott would say the early church was right, and so we shouldn't believe in faith alone. And you can see that all these guys don't believe in faith alone, so we shouldn't believe in faith alone. But Torrance was saying they were wrong. They lost the doctrine of grace, and they replaced it with like this work salvation scheme.
Right.
And so I want to agree with Burcott. Yeah, they lost the gospel very early on, except he wouldn't see it as losing the gospel. He would say, well, this was always the baptismal regeneration. I'm surprised if he believed in that because he's an Anabaptist, but he definitely doesn't believe in the faith alone message.
Right.
But isn't that just an argument Steve Lewis makes this argument. Our standard is not consensus theology. Our standard is the Bible.
Exactly. Let me put it this way. If you were to find that the early fathers were atheists, would you then be an atheist? Or would you then say, guess what? The early fathers misunderstood the Bible. Wouldn't you go to the Bible to determine your theology?
Yeah.
So if the early fathers held views that are inconsistent with the Bible, then we reject those views.
Right.
But let me bring that up to today's date. If your pastor is teaching things which are consistent with the Bible, then praise God, you embrace that and you accept it. But if you hear your pastor teach something which seems to be inconsistent with Scripture, then the thing to do is search the Scriptures, Acts 17:11, and see if what he's saying is true. It
Right.
may well be, and you may be wrong. But if it turns out that the pastor is wrong on this particular point, well, then you're not going to simply believe it because your pastor said it. Depending on, you know, how serious the issue is, you might even want to engage the pastor in discussion. You might even, if it was a really serious issue, if he was contradicting the church's own doctrinal statement, then you might want to contact the board and say, how is it the pastor's preaching something inconsistent with the doctrine of our church?
Right.
But my point is this. What makes something true is not what the church father said. It's not even what our church doctrinal statement says.
Yeah.
It's what the Bible says.
Right.
Whether it's something coming from the second century or the 21st century, it's all based on Scripture. I got an email yesterday from someone. They were quoting someone who said they knew this particular doctrine was true because it was consistent with historic Orthodox teachings of the church. And this person said, that has nothing to do with it. Or the person that was emailing me said, we know something is true because it's consistent with the Bible.
Right.
The Orthodox teaching of the church may or may not be consistent with the Bible.
Right, right. I mean, that's, you know, it's important to recognize that people have different sources of authority. And, you know, we want to take a perspective where the Scripture is our source of authority. Now, people in other traditions, they really do think that history is a source of authority.
And tradition.
And maybe it's the ultimate source of authority because
right.
history interprets the Bible. So it's the ultimate authority. Other people, it seems like they just count heads, and they're like, well,
right.
how can so many people be wrong? And the problem with that type of argument is just think about in Jesus' day, did the majority of rabbis believe in Jesus in his day?
No, John 1:11, he came to his own received him not.
So couldn't you say, but how could all these rabbis be wrong? So therefore, Jesus must not be the Messiah. Well, no, actually, you can't count heads in order to determine the truth. The truth is the truth no matter who believes it.
That is well put. And Craig Glickman, at our recent conference, he made an interesting point. He said, the rabbis of Jesus' day did not accurately reflect the teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures.
Yeah.
And he says most Christian expositors today do not accurately reflect the teachings of Jesus and the apostles.
Right. Yeah. So what was he saying? He was talking to someone who, you know, just didn't think that Christians really aren't living up to, you know,
right.
Jesus or whatever. And he said, well, you know, I don't think that Jews are living up to the Bible, and I don't think Christians are living up to the Bible, something like that. None of us are living up to our faith. But that doesn't make the faith right or wrong.
Right. What makes it right or wrong is what the Scriptures
teach. It'd be like, you know, remember the Unabomber?
Yeah.
He was a brilliant
Kaczynski.
Yeah, he was a brilliant mathematician. Now, he did some horrible things. Does that mean math is wrong? Just because a mathematician did some horrible things?
We should reject math.
Don't tell my kids that. So the second question is it reasonable to think they could be right about issues like the canon of Scripture and the Trinity and yet be wrong about the salvation
message?
This is
such an important question.
Well, again, think about the rabbis of Jesus' day. Did they get the canon of Scripture at their time right?
Yes.
They did. Did they get the salvation message wrong?
No. Yes,
they didn't get it right.
You tricked me there.
Were they right about there being like one God as opposed
sure.
to a pantheon of
sure.
Of course.
But they were wrong
about Jesus.
But they were also wrong about the Trinity. They didn't grasp that there could be one God in three persons.
Right, and probably the first early Christians didn't grasp that
right.
either for hundreds
right.
of years. But the point is, can someone be right about one issue and wrong about another issue? Of course, that's true of all of us.
And guess what? That is why we can get something out of commentaries written by people who are unbelievers.
Sure.
I mean, there are atheists who write commentaries,
yeah.
and there are liberals who write commentaries.
Now, you might not get a whole lot out of
right,
it, though.
Right,
there's
right.
going to be a lot of bones in that fish soup, you know what I mean?
But, like, for example, Raymond Brown, he wrote famous commentaries on John, two-volume
right.
commentary on
right.
John.
Roman Catholic guy.
Roman Catholic, and 1st through 3rd John.
Yeah.
I find his stuff helpful.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I'm not going to buy his view of what we must do to have everlasting life. However, he surprisingly, it doesn't come up that much.
Yeah.
Because he's just basically commenting on the words of the text
right.
and saying what the text says.
Right.
And he'll make some good observations. And he doesn't always try to tie it in, or rarely tries to tie it in with his Catholicism.
Sure. Yeah, so we only have about a minute left, but I'll say my perspective on the Church Fathers is kind of like that. You can read them and you can get some good stuff out of them. But honestly, I think they got almost every area of systematic theology wrong. They got salvation wrong. They got baptism and the Lord's Supper wrong. They turned it into this kind of token ritualistic
right.
sacramental practice. They got the church wrong. The church isn't this hierarchy that's with bishops and metropolitans.
And we
popes.
Don't have priests and altars.
Or priests, yeah. They got worship wrong. I mean, the New Testament worship doesn't have to do with a priest making a sacrifice.
And what about eschatology?
They got their eschatology completely wrong. I mean, they turned it into this amillennial, spiritualized nonsense that just totally eliminates Israel. I think they got discipleship wrong because they were operating out of a gospel of salvation by works. And so they saw discipleship and spirituality as an extension of this attempt to save yourself.
Right.
They got parts of the doctrine of God right, but a lot of it was kind of mixed in with a whole lot of Greek philosophy. So it's kind of hard to parse out, you know, what's true, what's biblical of that with what is really owing to Plato and Aristotle. So, I mean, I don't consider them an authority at all. I find that I'll read them like I would read, you know, a Roman Catholic author like Raymond Brown or even like secular maybe commentators. I'll read them because they might make good points,
right.
but they're not an authority for me.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
By the way, they're not an authority for Burcott either because Burcott's not a member of the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church. I believe that he's a Mennonite or at least an Anabaptist. I have a few of his books. They're interesting books. Again, I'll read Burcott,
right.
but he's not my source of truth. This is my source of truth is the Bible.
Amen.
Well, thanks for that question, Brian. Keep them coming. Radio@faithalone.org is where you can reach us. And by the way, we have a bunch of new videos on YouTube. Go to our YouTube channel, GES Vids, and like and subscribe to that. And we're going to have new videos all throughout the year. So thanks a lot for your questions, and we will see you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.